It's to the best of our knowledge. I'm Anne Strainchamps.
My dad, when he was a little boy, had all of the original hardcover Oz books. So when I was a kid growing up, those were the first books that I reached for.
Editor Anne Vandermeer.
People, when they think of Oz, they think of the Wizard of Oz, the first book. But they don't know about Ozma of Oz. There were all these other strange and unusual but loving characters. It was just amazing to me. And here's Dorothy having all these adventures, but not just Dorothy. There was all kinds of warring factions and royalty, but it was mainly just regular people just trying to get through their day. That was the thing that really struck me about the characters in Oz, and sometimes it was a talking chicken. I don't know what it is about me and chickens, but I love them so much, and I think it probably started with Oz. During the time period that I first came across those books, my parents had gone through a really horrible divorce. And my dad left those books behind. When I became an editor and started editing that type of work, that's what really brought my dad and me back together. My dad had always wanted to be a writer, but he ended up going to medical school and he became a doctor instead. And everything that I did, every book project that I worked on, I always had him in the back of my mind. My dad recently passed away last summer, and when I went with my sisters and we were looking through all of his different papers and things like that, we were surprised to find so much poetry and short little fiction things, and I had no idea that he was still writing. So that was quite a discovery for us to see, and we just sat around reading everything that he wrote. And it just meant a lot to me that we were able to reconnect through fiction.
Anne Vandermeer is an award-winning editor and publisher of Weird Fiction. And that makes her an authority on story worlds, which is our topic this hour. World building, that magic trick writers do of creating a whole fictional world for characters to live in. Places like Oz, or Westeros, or Planet of the Apes. And writers do this all the time. This hour, George Saunders will tell us how he created a graveyard afterlife for Abraham Lincoln's son, Willie. Mark Frost will talk about inventing a surreal little town called Twin Peaks. But first, let's get Anne Vandermeer to explain the craft of building a completely imaginary, fantastic, fictional world.
I do believe that there's more of a responsibility on the fantasy or the science fiction writer because you can't take as much for granted. You really need to know the world that you're building. Even if you don't put it all on the page, you need to know it well enough. And then you also have to balance between what you're going to share with the reader and what you hold back. Because what you don't want to end up doing is you don't want to end up going on page after page after page explaining this gadget. You know, when you're reading realistic fiction and one of your characters picks up a telephone, you don't have to explain it. Everyone knows what a telephone is. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about some kind of other world and they have a different way of communicating and they're picking up whatever that gadget is, you don't want to have to explain everything. So the other thing that you have to consider is what you're doing is you're giving them a view of this world, but it's through your characters. So you have two things that you're dealing with when you're building these worlds. You're dealing with the world view, which is the entire world that you've created, but then you're also dealing with the story view, which is what the character sees. And that's true whether it's realistic fiction or fantastical fiction, is you're seeing the world through your character's point of view, and they're not going to be describing every little detail, but you need to have enough in there that makes it concrete. So I do feel like the fantasy writer has a tougher job because they still have to make it believable. The reader's going to go with you only so far, and they'll take a leap of faith, and they'll go on the adventure with you, but if you put some stuff in there that just does not make any sense, Or maybe you've explained away too many things and you've lost the pacing of the story because you spent three pages describing one device. I feel like it's more of a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to read those books where it feels like half of it's an appendix.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
There has been a criticism made of fantasy fiction in the past that it's very homogeneous. Somebody creates a world filled with elves and princes and princesses, and without ever saying it, it feels like everybody in there is white.
Right.
Is there a new or younger generation coming in who are addressing this issue?
Absolutely. There are a lot of new writers out there writing different things. I think that if you're going to build a successful, logical new world that makes sense, you have to have diversity in it, because we have diversity in the real world, whether you recognize it or not, it's there. So when you are creating your world, you need to understand the biological aspects, you need to understand the cultural, the political, the social, religious, you need to know what all of that is to make the world believable. So when you create a world that's just this one thing, that's just elves and that's it, or just white people and that's it, or it's just this feudal society and that's it, you're really robbing your world of the richness that it could have if you don't have that diversity in it. And you're seeing a lot more of that coming up with the writers that are writing now. John Chu, he definitely puts that in his fiction, and other writers as well, like Nnedi Okorafor. If you've read any of her fiction, like Lagoon, you see pictures of the real world, but in their fantasy worlds that they've created. And it makes it richer, it makes it more vibrant, it makes it more real.
Fantasy or story world fiction often tends to get kind of lumped into genre fiction or just entertainment fiction, but there is a more literary aspect of some of that work too. And I wanted to ask you about one particular writer I just came across. You and your husband, Jeff Vandermeer, just published a big collection from a Finnish writer named Lina Krohn.
Yes.
I'd never encountered her before.
Oh my gosh, she's so amazing. She is really quite something. And the way that she approaches fiction, I mean, she has this, I don't know how to explain her mind, but she's mixing nature and mathematics and science and relationships and biology. And she's unique. And she is a national treasure in Finland, and she should be more well-regarded and more known here in this country, I feel. And I just think that if more people actually read her fiction, they would just be bowled over by what she can do.
For example, there's a story, I don't know how you say it, Taneron,
which is my favorite of all of her work.
Okay, tell us about Taneron.
Okay, the beauty of Taneron is that the story is told from the point of view of a tourist. And sometimes the best way to tell the story of a different world is through the point of view of a tourist, because the tourist is going to notice everything that's weird and different, whereas a person inside the culture is not going to remark on it because it's part of their daily lives. So here is this tourist, and you don't really know very much about them, but they are visiting Taneron, okay, which happens to be a world where insects are the population, all different kinds of insects. So the tourist is there for a while. We don't know why. We don't know where they're from, but they're writing letters back home. So every chapter in Taneron is a letter back home, and we don't even know who the person is that they're writing the letters to. But of course, as they're writing the letters, they're describing what's going on to them as they're in this world, and they're visiting the different people, and they're remarking on them. And so even though all the other characters, the entire population of this world that the tourist is visiting, are insects, they're still communicating with the tourist, but they're still behaving like the insects that they are. So there's like the way that she describes them and the actions that they take, they're still true to their insect personalities, but at the same time, they're talking and going about their daily lives as if they were regular people like we understand. And so I think that that's the beauty of that. And she remarks on different things through the tourists writing these letters back home. It's just an amazing book. Okay, so this is the eighth letter, Their Innumerable Dwellings.
Do I see it again?
the Taneranian's way of life is a very curious one. You will perhaps not have heard that they often have a number of dwellings, but not only in the way that we have city apartments and summer villas, no. The people here are able to live in many dwellings at the same time, as in a nest of boxes. Some of them carry their innermost apartment, a one-room flat which fits their dimensions like a glove, with them everywhere. But this has the drawback that one cannot always make sense of what they say, for it echoes and reverberates from the walls of their private apartments. It is also vexing to me that I cannot always tell where the dwelling ends and its inhabitant begins. Poor things, who never come among people without this innermost shield. It reflects the terrible vulnerability of their lives. Their little home may be made of the most diverse ingredients, grains of sand, bark, straw, clay, leaves, but it protects them better than others that are protected by armor from every direction, and it is a direct continuation of themselves, much more so than clothes are to you or me. But if it is taken away from them, they die, perhaps simply of shame. Perhaps because their skins are too soft for the outside air, or because they do not have any skin at all. Who would be so cruel as to tear from them this last shield? Oh, I have heard that such things too happen here in Taneran. I have been startled by the moans of the death throes in the depths of the night.
Wow.
See?
Yes. Yes.
Amazing.
It's about insects and it's about us.
Yes.
You can't hear or read that without recognizing that feeling, you know, of feeling that you're wanting to hide yourself and how horrible it feels if somebody rips away your protective coating.
And then you're exposed.
That's Anne Vandermeer. She's an award-winning editor and publisher. She and her husband, writer Jeff Vandermeer, also run Shared Worlds, which is a summer world-building program for teen writers, currently celebrating its 10th anniversary. You can find more information on our website at ttbook.org,